The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory be to you, Lord.
Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Just one of those gospels. I have to start with that warning. A great homily ruins a good gospel, right? So I'm going to come up short of a great homily anyway, but I'm just saying ahead of time, take the gospel, you know, hear the gospel passage, take those words of Jesus, they're powerful. And that's the dynamism of the gospel. It's explosive, and it hits the heart, right? It cuts to the heart. These are Jesus's words. This is one of the reasons why people never walk away from Jesus neutral. They never walk. Have you seen that in the gospel? No one ever walks away from Jesus neutral, because his words cut to the heart. I'll try for that homily now. Gonna come up short. Okay. This is a parable, and I think it's perhaps the most thinly veiled parable that was ever given. Right? Because he's directing these words to the Pharisees, to the people who are convinced of their own righteousness and despised everybody else. He's giving this to the Pharisees, and he's made the Pharisee one of the characters in the parable, right? It's pretty direct. It's getting pretty direct here. You can feel why the Pharisees would be enraged over this, why they'd be enraged at Jesus, showing them up and pretty clearly as well. But what is it that makes it a parable? I think we have to, in order to understand it as a parable, we have to situate it back in its context. We have to see this, just like the other parables that we've encountered in the Gospel of Luke to this point, we have to see this as Jesus giving kind of pictorial language, imagery, for his mission. He's not defending himself, but he's letting people know, especially the people who oppose him, what exactly his mission is. And he does it through the use of parables in such manner that you end up, no matter where you start, Even if here you start at the point of being convinced of your own righteousness and despising everybody else, by the end of it, you can't be happy that you're there. Right? Jesus is he's gone underneath. Right? He's turned the tables on you. Even if that's where you started. So this is what Jesus is doing in this parable. What is Jesus' mission about? Jesus has launched a renewal mission, a renewal of Israel mission. He is trying to recapture for Israel its vocation to live as a light to the world. So it's not simply that they're a nation blessed beyond all telling. They're a nation that's blessed in order to be a blessing to the nations. So everything they have as a nation is not intended to stay with them, as though they were building themselves up to be the strongest, the best of this, or the best of that, or whatever, or even just for their own independence, right? That which is what they so desperately wanted. No, what they've been given by God, especially the promised land and the riches, the bounty that flows from there, they've received the revelation of the merciful Almighty God. They are to bring that as a light to the nations, to bring God's light to a darkened world. That's what Jesus is trying to accomplish within his people. And he finds two sets of people, kind of generalizing a bit. And some of them would fall into the first category that he here looked personifies as Pharisee, and then some would fall into the second character, the second category, the character of the tax collector. Doesn't mean that everyone was either a Pharisee or a tax collector, but we see the habit of heart. What's the difference? Okay. Jesus gives it at the end when he says the latter went home justified, not the former. What does he mean by justified? He means that God has decided for that person. God has decided for the tax collector, and God has decided against the Pharisee. But we see around Jesus the Pharisees pushing themselves forward in the eyes of God, and pushing behind them anybody else, right? So here we are, God, we deserve it. Here's my religious resume. I deserve your blessing. I didn't kill anyone, right? I've heard this with some frequency in confession. Father, I didn't kill anybody. Okay, well, that's a start. You know, what are we? You know, greedy, dishonest, adulterous. Look at the people around me. Look at how bad they are. Okay, and then it's not enough, right? But also, look at me. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. He's got a decent religious resume going. What's lacking here? What's lacking is his awareness that he needs the mercy of God. What's lacking is any kind of awareness that everything he has and everything he is, his whole life of blessing is from God. Totally undeserved. Totally undeserved. He did not earn it. He has not earned it. But he lays claim to it by his own strength. Now look at the tax collector. Doesn't even try it. He knows himself to be despised. He knows himself to be outcast. He's collaborated with the enemy in the view of the Pharisee. He has no merits to plead his cause. We make that prayer our own in the Mass. He has no merits to plead his cause. What does he have? He has what the Pharisee lacks. He has a need for God's mercy. It's all he brings, and it's all that he offers. And guess what? That's what he takes away. He takes away God's merciful love. What does the Pharisee take away? He takes away a bunch of garbage. He takes away a handful of dust. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. Whatever. Nobody cares. What does it matter if he doesn't have love? And he doesn't, because all of his accomplishments crowd out God's mercy. So he can't receive it. And not receiving it, he can't put it into action. And this is, again, the tie back right into the parable nature of what Jesus offers here that has a little sting to it. Jesus is making dead men come to life. He's not making bad men good. He's giving dead people life. They are rising in him. The power of Jesus' life and love surging through them. He's bringing people to life. That's his ministry. That's his mission. And here, in whom is it being accomplished? Who walks away dead and who walks away alive? And that's the question that's put in front of us every time we enter this house of God, every time we turn to God in prayer. Are we like the Pharisee? Listen, praying to ourselves? He spoke this prayer to himself. Are we praying to ourselves? Are we championing our own cause? Or are we praying to our almighty and merciful God? Are we humble enough to come before him with broken and empty hearts, seeking only his love and mercy? Who is more likely? This is the last of it, I promise you. This is my last question. I'm going to walk away. We don't get anything beyond this, right? It's a parable. We don't get it. We don't get the little tied up conclusion. Who of the two characters is most likely to leave from here and be a light to the nations? Who of the two is more likely to go out and with his whole life bring the love of God and the mercy and love of God to everyone he encounters? That's the point of the parable. The Pharisees would have known it just as well as the tax collectors at that point. To be a light to the nations. And all we have to do to be a light to the nations is cast ourselves on the mercy of God, and being filled with his merciful love, bring that love to everyone we encounter.